Some members of Congress are working on a new version of the DREAM Act aimed at providing a legal status for people brought into the country as children without documentation. But as with most immigration action in Congress, there are serious obstacles. Advocates are now closely watching a case in Texas that could end protections for people brought to the U.S. illegally as children that could theoretically compel Congress to take action. A ruling in that Texas case is expected within days or weeks. You could join in at 800-642-1234. Are you waiting for legal status in the U.S.? How do you want to see lawmakers acting on your behalf? Are you against providing legal status for those living in the country undocumented? How do you think Congress can best tackle DACA recipients and wider immigration issues? Call 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234 or email ideas@WPR.org. Sabrina Rodriguez is an immigration correspondent for Politico. Sabrina, thanks a lot for joining us today.
Thanks for having me.
Well, you wrote, Sabrina, about this court case in Texas that some people think could spur Congress to take action. Tell us about this case, how we got to it, what it's all about.
Yeah, well, you know, we've been seeing since, 2012, when the DACA program, first came into existence under the Obama administration, there's been several legal challenges over the years, a question of the legality of Obama stepping in to do this when, most issues on immigration and law surrounding immigration is supposed to come from Congress. You know, this is the latest in a long line of cases, but this could be the one to truly end the program. Now, the question is obviously going to be in the details of a ruling on it, where if, this judge, this federal judge in Texas decides, DACA is unconstitutional, we need to end it, how immediate will it be? A lot of the, a lot of immigrant advocates do expect that they would be given some kind of, time frame in, to phase out the program. But, with that, and that end could trigger Congress doing something. However, as you mentioned kind of at the top of this, is Congress has had lots of challenges in passing immigration reform in the past. But with, a Democratic president and Democrat majority in the Senate and the House, this might be the best time to make it happen.
In your report, there's some bipartisan action. You've got Democratic Senator Dick Durbin from Illinois and Republican Senator Lindsey Graham from South Carolina working on a new version of the DREAM Act, which would give some kind of legal status to the people in that DACA category, the Dreamers, so-called. What are they working on?
Yeah, so just last week, they introduced, again, it's been 20 years since the DREAM Act has been around, and they reintroduced their version for this year that would legalize about 2 million undocumented immigrants and give them a pathway to citizenship. Bills that are being toyed by different lawmakers on both sides of the aisle that would get at, how to deal with DACA recipients and the broader Dreamer community, as well as other undocumented immigrants. So it's going to be a big question of where do people go? What is the bill that's going to have the most support? And at this point, we don't know which it'll be. But DREAM Act has been popular throughout the years.
Want to give a listen to Senator Durbin from Illinois giving an emotional speech about the legislation.
As the child of an immigrant, I never dreamed that I would have this opportunity to lead the committee in the Senate that writes our nation's immigration laws. To all of the dreamers out there, let me tell you this. Passing the DREAM Act is still my highest legislative priority.
So here we are, Sabrina. There's some bipartisan support for the DREAM Act. There's a lot of popular support, I think, in polling for it. But it looks like, if I'm reading your reporting correctly, it probably won't get a vote all by itself. It's likely to get rolled in with other immigration issues. What are the prospects there?
Yeah, so that's been the complication with, passing in Congress a pathway to citizenship for undocumented immigrants. It never is a standalone bill. It never is just one clean swoop of, okay, we're going to do this now. It always gets mixed up with border security, with how to handle, ICE and immigration enforcement in the United States. And then you know, progressives will push back on that and say they just want to focus on, you know, the aspect of legalization and the aspect of, you know, being able to allow people to come into the United States and have a pathway to citizenship. So right now we haven't seen those clear cuts come out yet because we're waiting for the bill to be introduced from the Biden administration. They have their own plan for, you know, a big sweeping immigration reform package that should be introduced in the coming weeks. And that's when we're going to start to really see people stake out their corners on how they want to tackle it this time around.
We're talking to Sabrina Rodriguez, an immigration correspondent for Politico, looking at immigration reform possibilities in the U.S. Congress, an update, a new version of the DREAM Act, maybe in the works, though, as you just heard, complicated executive action from the Biden administration as well. You can join in with your thoughts at 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234. What do you want to happen? What would you like to see from Congress on immigration issues? Are there things here that would affect you, either personally or a family member or someone who you work with or who works for you? Call 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234. And Sabrina, there are other things out there, including one of interest to Wisconsin, a Farm Workforce Modernization Act. What is involved in that?
Yeah, so one big piece of this as well has been, you know, we talk about the dreamers, and there are some dreamers that fall under, you know, as farm workers involved in the agriculture industry. But there is a bill that passed in 2019 in the House side, never got a vote in the Senate. So we do see that there is some widespread support for it already that would have a pathway to citizenship, a pathway for just legal status and permanent residency in the United States for farm workers. There seems to be even more energy for that now, given how much we've seen the importance of the agriculture industry with this pandemic. You know, a lot of the conversation in 2020 and now this year with the pandemic ongoing has been, you know, the importance of the people that are ensuring that we are fed. And, you know, that only has brought home the point that a lot of Democrats and progressives specifically have about passing this legislation. So this is one of the specific bills that's focused on it. But there's also a question of if in a future COVID relief package, the bill, which, you know, is a big discussion with the Biden administration and Congress right now, could include some kind of legal protections for the farm workers that are, you know, currently in the United States working.
So this is all maybe stuff in Congress. There has been executive action from the Biden administration so far. One thing you've reported on is the issue of asylum seekers coming from Central America, mm-hmm. usually through Mexico to the U.S. border. The Trump administration had made deals with some key countries involved. The Biden administration saying, hold on those. What is what changes are in the works there?
Yeah, so the border is, you know, there's a question mark in Congress and there's to some extent a question mark on the border right now, because the Biden administration is really in a place right now where they're trying to undo a lot of the things that the Trump administration did with regards to asylum seekers, refugees, and just border security, you know, along the U.S. southern border. So at the moment, it's, you know, a process of they're signing executive orders, they're asking for all kinds of, you know, reviews and recommendations to figure out how to go forward. But in the meantime, people are still coming. And, you know, there are still people coming and trying to seek asylum in the United States. Just today, we saw the Biden administration, White House Press Secretary Jen Psaki, she said, you know, now is not the time to come. She said that in the press. You know, she said in the press briefing today and said, you know, there's really limited circumstances in which people will be allowed into the country. So at the moment, you know, it's not open. It's not, you know, it's not a position that the Biden administration wants people to think that they can come right now and seek asylum and be able to, because in the meantime, they're really going through this process of trying to change the rules and figure out how to undo and change what, you know, Trump did while in office.
We're talking to Sabrina Rodriguez, immigration correspondent for Politico, looking at how Congress could move forward on immigration policy under Democratic control and a Democratic White House, and executive actions as well from President Biden. We want to hear from you at 800-642-1234. What are you watching when it comes to immigration reform and border enforcement and security? What do you want to see from Congress, from the Biden administration? Do you think it's time, decades into debates over the issue, that Congress come together on some kind of comprehensive immigration reform? Or would you like to see piecemeal efforts? If so, which pieces? And if so, what impact does this have maybe on you personally and your livelihood? You can join in at 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234. You can also email ideas@WPR.org. We'll continue the conversation coming up on Central Time. You're listening to Central Time here on the Ideas Network. I'm Rob Ferret. We're picking up our talk now with Sabrina Rodriguez, immigration correspondent for Politico. We're talking to her about immigration policy, how it might change under this Congress and this presidential administration. You can join in at 800-642-1234. What are you watching for, if anything, from Congress and the White House when it comes to immigration and border security? What questions do you have about what's going on right now? Call 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234. Sabrina, a big topic through parts of the Trump administration was the what amounted to a family separation policy, charging parents as they entered the border, removing their children from their custody. There were efforts to reunify them. Where are we with that right now? And what is the Biden administration looking at?
Yeah, so, I mean, that was one of the kind of centerpieces of the Trump administration when you hear criticism about how he handled immigration. You know, the Biden administration, you know, President Joe Biden on the campaign trail talked very much about how he was going to create a task force that would help find the remaining parents of children that had been separated. And just last week, he announced this task force and, you know, did the formal rollout where the current DHS secretary, who was also confirmed last week, Alejandro Mayorkas, is going to be in charge of this task force and will be doing the work of trying to find the remaining separated families, you know, reunite them. There's about 600 or so kids that still have not been reunited with their parents. So it's going to be a question of working with civil society groups, different nonprofits, doing outreach in these Central American countries where they mostly came from to hopefully find their families. And in the case that they are found and they are reunited, then becomes the question of, will they be brought to the United States and allowed to stay here and be given resources? So the executive order that Biden signed kind of left it open-ended, but you know, the primary focus right now is going to be reuniting those remaining families and then seeing how to, you know, make right what happened under the Trump administration.
Let's bring on a caller now at 800-642-1234. Ricardo is with us in Madison. Ricardo, hello.
Hello there. So one of the immigration reforms that I am looking for is, of course, reuniting the kids who are separated by their parents. But, of course, also the DREAM Act. I am a DACA recipient myself, and I feel the sympathy of the children who have been separated. That could be me. That could have been me. Or it could be me. But I feel like the DREAM Act and an immigration reform here will basically contribute to the revenue of this country, will make us even stronger, especially right now. We have a shortage of people. Of workers. So I feel like if there's an immigration reform, people are willing to pay money in order to have a authorization card, just like DACA. They pay $500 every 2 years. So imagine if you can have a reform that you can that people are willing to pay for this security to be here, how much money that will bring.
Ricardo, thanks a lot for the call. And some people, Sabrina, have pointed toward the economic impact of immigrants as a reason for changing some of the laws and providing paths to citizenship. What kind of things do we hear?
Yeah, I mean, to Ricardo's point, you know, something that's a misconception when we talk about immigration that I hear over and over again is this idea that undocumented immigrants don't pay taxes and are benefiting from, you know, services in the United States without, you know, paying their fair share. The reality is that, you know, all immigrants in this country, the majority, are paying their taxes, whether undocumented or with visas or with, you know, with a citizenship, with an American citizenship. So, you know, that's part of it, where we've seen study after study showing the amount of money that DACA recipients, the amount of money that undocumented immigrants are offering to the U.S. economy. And there is, you know, plenty of studies that show that, you know, it's a positive impact on wages. It's a positive impact on earnings. You know, when we're talking about the Texas case that, you know, we were mentioning earlier, in that one, there's been studies that have shown specifically in the 8 states, the Texas and the 8 other states that are involved in it, that all those states would see a drop in GDP if they did not have those DACA recipients contributing to the economy. So it is really across the board that we've seen positive signs on just the impact of immigrants on the economy.
Thanks for that call, Ricardo. We'll go to John now, calling from Eau Claire. John, hello.
Yeah, I apologize. You kind of sniped my question. I wanted to touch base a little bit on the economic versus the humanitarian benefits of immigration, but you kind of touched base on that already. Sorry.
But actually, that takes us to an interesting place, John. I'm glad you brought that up. Sabrina, there is, I think, always talk about, okay, how much is the immigration system intended to bring in workers, especially, you know, maybe workers in areas where we need them, like healthcare, versus how much of the proportion of the population we're bringing in is for humanitarian reasons, people seeking asylum, refugees from around the world. What kind of things are you hearing about that balance?
Yeah, I mean, I don't want to call it a problem, but part of what we're used to seeing in the media has been a focus, and I am part of it, we are part of it, but, you know, part of the focus is naturally on what's happening in the border, the asylum seekers, where, you know, the family separation policy that has taken, you know, a lot of focus just because of obviously how terrible it was to witness. But there's millions of immigrants that are here on work visas that are, you know, from unskilled laborers to high skill, whether it's working in Silicon Valley with tech companies, whether it's, you know, farm workers that are coming in either temporarily for seasonal purposes or are here practically year round. So, you know, it's not just asylum seekers. It's not just people that are coming from terrible situations. You know, the Biden administration last week announced that for the next fiscal year, they're going to raise the cap on how many refugees can come in to 125,000. You know, that's just a small chunk of what we see in the country when we're talking about immigrants. And, you know, the vast majority are here working in different jobs and have different focuses. Now, if we're talking about healthcare, for example, that's a chunk of also thousands of people that could be coming in. We've seen, for example, at the beginning of the pandemic, this is very close to home, but seeing, you know, Canadian nurses coming across the border to help with, you know, just handling the pandemic. So we really do see it not just as asylum seekers, not just as people coming, you know, seeking refuge in the United States from terrible conditions in other countries, but some that are really contributing in other ways to the workforce in the country. So it's, you know, I hate to repeat that how complicated it is, but it comes from all different directions when we're talking about immigration.
Sabrina, I've seen some reporting that some business groups are very curious about this work visa issue, maybe a little frustrated that the Biden administration hasn't been more clear about that. In part, I think they just wanting certainty to know what the rules are before they go trying to hire people from other countries. Is that something you're seeing yourself?
The Wall Street Journal had a great. Yeah, it's been a concern already. You know, the administration hasn't talked too much about it. The focus in his first in office has been very much on the question of undocumented migration, you know, family separation, asylum seekers, the situation at the border. But, you know, business groups and immigrant advocates are saying, okay, but, you know, Trump also did things to change our legal immigration system that need to be fixed, need to be changed. And, you know, there needs to be a process in place that people understand and can follow. So right now it's a question of what Biden is going to do. He hasn't been very clear on it. he signed an executive order as well last week that was saying, you know, starting a review process of barriers to legal migration. You know, one question is very much that the system in the United States is very backlogged. If you apply for a visa, if, you know, you qualify to apply for a visa right now, it can take years to get it just because of how backlogged the system is. So part of what's, you know, what everyone's waiting on is how is Biden going to change that? And how is he going to undo the ban that Trump put in place last year and even expanded that, you know, aimed to block foreigners who might come into the United States and take jobs that, you know, other Americans could take. So right now we don't know. You know, Biden has criticized that ban many times and talked about it, but he hasn't given us the path forward on that front.
Sabrina, we'll leave it there. Thanks a lot for joining us.
Thanks for having me.
Sabrina Rodriguez is an immigration correspondent for Politico. She talked to us about how Congress might or might not work together on the many various elements of immigration reform.